Alaskans, I would think more so than most, really think hard about sandy beaches and tropical temperatures this time of year. The darkest days are upon us and some of the coldest ones as well. So this week, we're revisiting one of our very first Kids These Days programs. A little more than a year ago, we hosted a conversation about the family vacation with AK On The Go's Aaron Kirkland and the Alaska Travelgram's Scott McMurrin. Both are experienced travelers and parents, and they are ever searching for both a good trip and a good deal. Their advice works as well today as it did last season.
Kids These Days.
Kids These Days.
This is Kids These Days.
Today, it's the family vacation. The holiday season is soon upon us, and for many Alaskans, that means it's time to travel. Whether it's across town for Turkey Day or across the country for New Year's Eve, lots of us are on the move. Joining me in the studio today are two guests who know a lot about travel. Out of Alaska, around Alaska, and with family in tow. AK On The Go mom Aaron Kirkland and Scott McMurrin of the Alaska Travelgram are here. Also this hour, we'll find out about one family whose African vacation was more than a fun-only getaway. And we'll hear seniors remember some of their favorite family vacation moments in our new feature, When I Was Young. That and more today on Kids These Days.
Wally World, here we come!
Ah, Wally World. As some of you might remember, that's the place the Griswolds were driving to on their 1980s-era road trip on the silver screen in the movie Vacation. Today on Kids These Days, we're chatting about the family vacation. Hi, I'm Shanna Sheehy. Where does your family like to go? Do you have a tradition of going to a particular place or skiing to a particular cabin? Is your vacation budget more along the lines of a staycation? Well, as always, we at Kids These Days want to know. Call us toll-free, 1-888-KTD-RADIO. Those numbers are 888-583-7234. Email us at mail@kidsthesedays.org or message us through our contact page at kidsthesedays.org. Well, today I'm joined in the studio by Aaron Kirkland. She's the woman behind akonthego.com. That's a popular local blog for families about what to do and where to travel in Alaska. Aaron's a featured contributor on Kids These Days and also makes appearances on Kudo and Go To AK, the travel website of KTUU TV. And she also makes monthly appearances on KTUU about kids in the wild. Thanks so much for being with us today, Aaron.
Thanks, Shanna. Great to be here.
And we also have Scott McMurrin. He blogs at alaskatravelgram.com about airfare deals, travel specials, and other travel updates for Alaskans. He's a regular on Kudo and KTVA, and he writes a weekly column for the Alaska Dispatch. It's great to have you today, Scott.
Well, Shannon, it's great to be here.
So we are talking about the family vacation, and there are so many places people can go, and there are so many places that we can go in this conversation. So maybe I can start with you, Aaron. When it comes to family vacation, you know, what is the first thing that comes to your mind as AK On The Go?
Well, Scott's laughing. A little bit of stress, a little bit of planning. It's a whole lot of learning. I mean, We, as a family, I think, have gone hither and yon in search of the perfect vacation. But, you know, you brought up Clark Griswold, and I think what families need to remember is that there's always going to be something that comes up. Mm-hmm. But it's kids that you're dealing with, and you just move on and plow ahead and expect the unexpected, because that's what's going to happen. There is no perfect vacation.
Well, let's jump into that idea, the family vacation. I mean, vacationing, travel takes planning. So what makes the family vacation and planning for a family vacation different from when someone by themselves can just pick up a rucksack and go?
Gee, Scott.
Well, I've picked up a rucksack and gone. And done that quite a bit. And so my initial trips with the family, well, as you're first starting out with a family, it's typically done for you by grandma and grandpa.
Oh.
In other words, the first trips, especially here in Alaska, where so much of our families, know, it's we're the diaspora. You know, we're scattered hither and yon, the end of the universe. People can't come up here because the planes, they fly uphill. It's harder. You know?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So we end up, you know, when the kids were very little, you know, going to grandma and grandpa's the whole time. And so my entire being was, how long can I put up with that? And then where can we go to escape?
And so what you're saying is that when you do have little kids, if you're a new family or maybe even some grown kids, if you're up here without your extended family, then where you go on family vacation is already sort of a given. It's going to be to go see those extended family members.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, our first summer up here, you know, our youngest was barely two, and we had to go down to Portland for a family wedding, and the whole family was there, and that was our vacation for the year. And I think, you know, I know we'll talk about budgets later, but that's a big piece of this, is that do I want to take the family budget and make a vacation to go see other extended family, or do we want to go someplace new? And I think that is a struggle. I know Scott would agree with that. It's tough.
You know, it you're correct, Aaron, but it's also, especially when you're just starting out a family, it's, do I want to go and endure those same arguments or discussions that I've had with my parents since I was in college or high school? Or do I want to go someplace where there's sun and beach and we can really kind of make our own way in the world a little bit? That's sort of the budget struggle, but it's also the psychological struggle that many travelers in Alaska have, either or. And so, and Aaron and I were talking about this earlier, we were trying to make it both.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you do that?
Well, a lot of times.
Oh, well, Scott.
I mean, I'll give you go ahead and give your take, and I'll kind of chime in a little bit.
Always rent a car. Always rent a car, because you know, sometimes you're back in your parents' house, or you feel obligated, you know, to borrow someone's car, but you don't want to borrow it all day to escape up to the mountains or what have you. I mean, if you've got your own transportation, then you have that sense of freedom. Hey, you know what? Gee, kids are done with their nap. Let's hop in the car and go to the beach for the afternoon, kind of thing. That takes away a whole piece of the obligatory family expectation that's going to be there. So, you know, you got to have your own transportation.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I have even counseled people to consider a hotel.
So you might be going, in Aaron's case, she says, going to Portland to see extended family. So you go to Portland, maybe you stay with the family members, but you rent your own car. And Scott McMurrin, you're saying, maybe you get your own hotel room, your own digs.
Some of that just depends on the dynamics. I think that kind of the take-home message on that one is, give yourself some space. Buy yourself some space. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you'll be really thankful that you did. And this goes back to every element of planning with a family, okay? And Aaron will back me up on this one. I think it even goes to the flight connections, because your transaction time when you've got little ones is just longer. Everything takes longer. And you've got a plan for that. And that changes. Some of the easiest times to travel with the kids is when they're still in the doggone car seat.
Which I didn't realize until after that opportunity was gone.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
And they sleep 23 out of 24 hours. That's the best time to go.
Yeah, but when they're walking, oh my gosh. You know, then you've really got some issues. And where's that leash? I never had the chutzpah to go ahead and get the leash for the kids in the airport, but I've lost kids in the airport. I've lost my child in the Honolulu airport. I aged 20 years in about 10 minutes.
I'm sure you did.
Again, there's time, and Aaron will tell you that there's always something that comes up that's going to take time. Sometimes it's a trip to the bathroom to change the diaper. You know, sometimes it's the kid gets lost in the airport. Sometimes it's I need something to eat now, or mom needs something to eat, you know, and if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So make sure she's getting something to eat.
So build an extra time if you've got kids and you're traveling.
Yeah. And of course, I'm drifting a little bit between the actual process of being on a trip, which for most Alaskans, it's all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be all day and all night. And then Aaron was talking about, you know, with the car, well, you know, that's some space that you're buying. You know, because the person who's picking you up may not realize that their little Subaru won't cover you, mom, the two kids, in mom's suitcase full of shoes.
Hey.
Just kidding.
Well, I'd like to remind listeners that you are listening to Kids These Days, and today we're talking about the family vacation with Aaron Kirkland and Scott McMurrin. And I found, in my research for this program, I found a really rich resource at travelchannel.com. Mm-hmm. There's a whole section on planning vacations, and then there's a whole section within there on planning family vacations. And they have all sorts of sort of lists, and lists are so much fun, I think, if you're trying to prepare yourself. For making a trip. And so they have a whole list of things that you can do for travel tips for family vacations. They include things like plan ahead, which we've been talking about, determine what your family needs are, striking a balance between parents' needs, kids' needs, that kind of thing, looking for destinations that have lots of options for everybody in the family, advice about taking advantage of off-peak times, and all those kinds of things. Also, consider your child care needs before you arrive at your destination and see if there's things that you can do in advance of that too.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, you struck on a very important point, Shanna, is the traveling at off times. And one of the wonderful things about Scott is that he knows the best days to travel. And what are those days, Scott, if you're looking for a great airline? Because this is so important with families, especially families that are watching budgets.
Well, the best days to travel really vary. I can tell you when not to travel.
Well, there
spring
we go.
Break,
yeah.
Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, it's like just my blood pressure just goes up when I start thinking about that. And this is a struggle that parents face, especially when the kids are school age. So it's like, you know, do you pull the kids out of school to go on a trip? Well, yes. Don't ask me because I always did.
Yes.
And you know, we just always did. If we had to back it up 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days, you know, the teacher is just going to have to, and I know I'm going to get flack for this. I know it because, you know, it really doesn't work in high school. The kids are slaves to the schedule and you're slaves to the schedule. That's it, period. But, when you know, grade school, junior high and that stuff, I just pull the kids out so that we can beat the rush.
So the idea is that if you stick to the prescribed time off that a kid might have in his or her school year, you're going to be competing for those super popular times of year that everybody's
absolutely.
Trying to get flights and appeals.
Yeah, not only are you competing with the 50,000 kids in the school district, but also with the teachers.
Oh.
Those teachers. So you want to use your miles. Forget it.
Forget it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a fact of life. And you know, it's those expensive lessons that really stick with you. So if you found it to be different, you know, go nutty. I mean, but I've learned the hard way.
Yeah.
I used to spend a small fortune traveling. Now I spend a medium fortune. You know, and so try and avoid those peak holiday periods. And you know, some of that avoidance will be taken care of automatically when you start checking the prices. You know, if you want to go on December 19th and come back on January 5th, I mean, I'll play the tape. You know, it's like you're really not looking for a good deal at that point. You're looking for a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's whatever the market will bear. And the market will bear quite a bit, you know, if people are planning at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the balance of that, I mean, one time we spent a spring break down at Alyeska. And the kids just, they weren't even into skiing that much. Number one son was. But they took their swimsuits. So we stayed at the hotel and we swam in the pool. And, you know, we sat in the sauna and we went skiing, typically night skiing. But it was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't care because it was spring break. But all we did is a 35-mile drive. You know, so if you're vacationing here in Alaska, and I love Christmas in Alaska. And, I love it. I love spring break here. You know, a place like Valdez or Turnagain Pass or something like that. Just snow, sun. It's glorious.
Yeah.
Something to keep in mind.
Well, Scott, you mentioned when we first started the conversation something about beaches and sunny and sort of making your own time as a family vacation. And then you also mentioned pools when you talk about Alyeska. And I recently called a travel agent in Hawaii and asked her if she could give some advice for families about family-friendly destinations. Now, Kelsey from travel-hawaii.com, she said she knew a whole lot about hotels. And so she gave us some advice on the best hotels for families, all the way from Kauai to the Big Island.
Mm-hmm.
The Hilton Hawaiian Village on Oahu is really great for kids because it has a great pool. It's probably the only place on Oahu that has you know, slides and everything, and that's right in Waikiki. It's the Hilton Hawaiian Village, and it has their own lagoon for the kids to. It's just safe. It doesn't have like big waves. It's just a man-made lagoon, and it's really safe for kids. They have kayaking and all kinds of water activities for the kids at that property. Then on Maui, it's the Grand Wailea. It can be pretty pricey, but it's has a really great pool, great for kids. The Westin Maui is also really good for kids. And on the Big Island in Kona, it's the Hilton Waikoloa Village because of their water activities in the, you know, at the Hilton. So Kauai is a tough one. I guess it would have to be the Sheraton Kauai. The Sheraton Kauai, because it has a great beach. It's in the Poipu area. Poipu is really good for kids. Cool. And if they go to Kona, I always advise, I tell them to go to the Hilton Waikoloa, because they'll have so much fun there. I mean, to go to your room, you got to take either one of those trains or a boat to get to your room. And it's just so many, many, many acres of land and ponds and pool, and the kids just go crazy at that property. So when it comes to the winter months, I always tell people either go to Maui or go to the Big Island, where that's where the volcanoes are. So if a lot of the kids want to go and see the volcano, then they should go to the Big Island, which is Kona or Hilo. And so a lot of them like to go back to the school and do a report on the volcanoes. That's where a lot of kids like to come. Or they like to come to Oahu because of Pearl Harbor, and they'd like to do the report on Pearl Harbor. So a lot of my families prefer to go to Maui or Oahu.
So that was Kelsey from travel-hawaii.com giving some advice. And both my guests, Aaron Kirkland and Scott McMurrin, were laughing and nodding their heads and maybe even having some disagreements with some of those things. Scott?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, I could talk with Kelsey all day. I used to live over in Hawaii. I used to live over in Kona. And love Hawaii. And I've taken my family to Hawaii many, many, many times. And you know, all the properties that she's talked about, I've been to.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things that I've learned about Hawaii is, and this is with a family too, is I'm all about the condo.
Yep.
Because
I agree.
Because, yeah. And I've stayed in hotels, and typically hotels great for me and my wife, something like that. But for the kids, you just got to have a little extra room. Again, mm-hmm. That space business.
So can you explain to me, I'm not familiar, how is that? So a condo, it's not a hotel, so how does it work?
You know, in a condo, you've got the luxury of the option of going out to eat, but you've got a kitchen in a condo. Mm-hmm. And typically, you've got a little more space bedroom-wise. And we found the same thing to be true, that sometimes we just need to stay in at the evening, you know, cook our own meals, laze around in the morning. When you've got to get kids up and out of a hotel room for every single meal of the day, even if, you know, they offer breakfast at the hotel, it gets really hard to do. And kids also, space-wise, you know, you want to be able to let little ones nap in a separate bedroom if you need to do that. I mean, have you tried to nap one child while the others are not?
It doesn't really work.
And when you're in a place that you've maybe saved up your money for years to go to, like Hawaii, and you all need some downtime, it becomes a little difficult. So, you know, I totally agree with Scott that the condo or vacation rental properties, things like that, I would probably choose over a hotel.
So how am I? I'm interested in going on a family vacation to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I think you guys were talking about condos. That sounds awesome. I want to do that. What do I do next? How do I find that condo on Maui or Kauai or whatever? Are we talking about timeshares? Are we talking about something else?
Well, you know, typically any condo development has some sort of a timeshare option. You walk in and you see all these people talking, you know, around at the tables, and they're not tan. And there's one person talking to a couple. That's the, you know, Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, they all have their timeshares and stuff like that.
So you can search and find out.
So vacation. A condo, when you guys say condo, you mean timeshare or no?
Well, no.
No, not necessarily.
I mean, what I'm saying is I'll give you an example. The Embassy Suites in Kauai, where we stayed at, they have a hotel, but it's also part of Hilton's timeshare scheme. You know, and so they're selling timeshares there at the same time. Then they load them back into the rental pool, and it's all, you know, part of a shell game that they've got going on there at the at the resort. And I say that with all Christian charity and with love of my heart. But the condo, you go ahead and do a search. You can do a search. You can call Kelsey over there at travel-hawaii.com or a local travel agent here who might be able to say, well, yeah, I've been to Hawaii 100 times and this is what I liked.
Okay.
Or, you know, I mean, ask another mom. I mean, if you're going with your, you're going with your family, you know, I mean, or maybe there's even a private party. There's enough, you know, Hawaii is really, Alaskans are really kama aina when it comes to Hawaii. Most of us I know my kids have grown up going to Hawaii for vacation, okay, at one point or another, maybe not every year, maybe every other year. And so there's a network of people who go to Hawaii and a network of people, quite frankly, who own properties over there. So you can either rent from a private party, you can do your own search and find out, you know, Travel Advisor is a good spot, you know, to to take, to look at. And there are any number of internet resources for that.
Cool.
I mean, if people have some specific questions on that, go to my website, you can email me, and I'll be happy to, you know, give you my...
Navigate
right.
that.
You know. And Scott's website is alaskatravelgram.com.
Yeah.
And Aaron Kirkland's website is akonthego.com. And
right.
both of those websites will be easy to link to from kidsthesedays.org after the end of this program. Well, let us take a, let's transition a little bit in terms of location. Another tropical getaway that lots of Alaskans like, or at least like to dream about, is going to Mexico.
Ah, look at Scott grin. That's his place.
Of course, Mexico is full of resorts and luxury getaways, timeshares, and that kind of thing. But what about riding chicken buses with the kiddos, or renting your own car, or how about traveling the blue highways of our neighbor to the south?
Oh.
Well, I recently talked to Christy Neptune and asked her that question. She and her family headed down to Mexico's Baja California last year to soak up the sun and take a walk off the so-called beaten path.
We had a wonderful time, really. Everyone was so friendly, and I thought that taking a small child to Mexico got us to meet a lot more locals than we would have if it was just the two of us traveling, because everyone wanted to talk to or about Lucas, and we had a great time. We definitely, as individuals, prefer off the beaten track to resorts anyway. So, and as a family, I think it was just, it's quieter. It's what we were looking for, was just a time to spend together, time to spend on the beach and in the sun and just hanging out with us. So generally tend to prefer house rentals to large hotels or condos when we travel anyway. So we were able to find a nice house in a quiet town. We do a lot of internet research for finding houses. We've done the same thing when we traveled to Hawaii. So just a lot of searching and looking at referrals, vacation rental websites. In Mexico in particular, the community we ended up finding was an expat community. And I guess that increased my confidence as far as going to another country and looking for a house rental that I was going to be comfortable having a young kid in. As far as knowing it was kid-friendly, it was kind of a, we didn't really know. We were just going to do what we could to make it the best we could. So we just fly in, make your own flight reservations, get your own car rental. We definitely wanted to make it so we didn't drive at night. We had heard driving at night on the Baja was dangerous because of both vehicles and animals, and there's not really any passing zones. Yeah, I think on the out-of-the-way places, the less touristy destinations, I would definitely go again.
And this is Kids These Days. I am here with Scott McMurrin and Aaron Kirkland. And we just heard Christy Neptune talking about Baja California and kind of going off the beaten path. Is this something that families, you know, would you two with your expertise say that families should be
absolutely
making their vacations this way?
We did it.
We did it. So my parents took us to Puerto Vallarta and environs when we were kids. And, you know, I'm sure they were a little nervous, but we get out, you know, out of the airport and we rent a Volkswagen Thing.
Oh, awesome.
Now, you remember those, right?
I do. Oh,
yeah. So,
I do.
Convertible, maybe it'll go, maybe it won't. A gnome is pedaling in the front there. And we drove all over the place. And, you know, I think maybe that's what instilled in me this sense of adventure. But, you know, you can't be shy about just getting out and exploring, especially someplace like Mexico, where the history and the archaeological differences from the United, I mean, it's just incredible. And Scott, I know you've got some very favorite places that you go.
I'm chomping at the bit.
I
love Mexico so much, and I love it more every time I go. We actually had an exchange student from Indonesia, good Muslim girl. We took her with us.
Oh, cool.
And we flew into Manzanillo, and which is a great, great place. Unlike Christy, bless her heart, I'm very specific. Manzanillo, M-A-N-Z-I-L-L-O. And it's a commercial port. It's south of Puerto Vallarta. And Alaska Airlines flies there. And we did rent a car there. Not at the airport, because that's a ripoff. That's spelled R-I-P-O-F-F. And anyway, we have a favorite condo that we go as often as we can to this place, and that they're a group of expats too, and so they've got this guy that they work with, you know, who gives them the good buddy discount on a car rental. And so we rented a car, and we drove all the way to Pescuaro, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's between
beautiful.
It's between Guadalajara and Mexico City, near the city of Morelia, and it was just spectacular. My wife did all the planning on that, found a little casita, a small house, inside a Buddhist monastery that they rent out. And so we rented, we stayed there. We were there for Christmas, and it was just spectacular. But we did check with the guy. He said, are you going to let us drive your car to where they're shooting people? You know, because, I mean, thousands, tens of thousands of people have died violent and miserable deaths in Mexico lately. And it's mostly around the border towns. But, you know, I mean, we're really specific about that. And the guy looked at us and said, no, and here are some places that you don't want to go. And also reaffirmed, no driving at night.
Mm-hmm,
that's
no.
a stupid idea.
No way.
Don't do that. You know, it's got headlights, sure, but don't do it. And so we didn't. Okay.
So there are ways to.
Yeah, and
sure,
we got lost in Guadalajara, and the kids were yelling at me, and it's like, oh, I'm following the signs. Shut up, you know.
So what makes Mexico a place that is kid friendly? I mean, what is special about Mexico when it comes to traveling with a family that might be different than if you're going without kids?
Can I just answer
Do
one
it.
Thing?
Do
I,
it.
Here's the wonderful thing, and same with Hawaii too. Wonderful thing about Mexico was. The kids could go outside at night and play like in their bare feet, you know,
yep.
aside from the scorpions and the snakes, of course, because it was warm, you know, and they'd never been out catching fireflies. They don't do that in Alaska, you know, and so that was what was so wonderful. And the pool, you know, they just love hanging out at the pool, and they can be there all day and all night. And no, they don't listen to us when we say to put their sunscreen on. And yes, they're miserable when they get their sunburn, but that's just, you know, that's life lessons. And you know, I could go on and on about Mexico. I double heart Mexico.
I think Mexico, you know, that the people are charming, and they're very kid oriented, which, you know, as a mom, you like to see people interacting with your kids in a positive way. Also, the teachable moment aspect, you know, this is a culture that for a lot of Alaskan kids is very far removed. This is a new language. It's a new way of life. And Scott mentioned, you know, they were there for Christmas. You know, we're used to sleigh bells and Frank Capra kind of stuff. And this was just a completely different environment to take kids. And he did mention the outside component. You know, anytime you're able to put your kids in a, you know, complete 180 from what they're used to, that definitely has a benefit. And Mexico, I mean, there's just so much history there and so many different things to do and see and taste and smell. And I mean, it's beautiful.
I want to interrupt about the teachable moment part. The other part is people speak Spanish there. And so my kids, who are used to just, you know, just kind of blurting it out, can't do that. And they have to stop and they have to think. And there's that pause there. That's the teachable moment.
Absolutely.
That, you know, America is great, but we're not, you know, we're not everywhere and we're not the center of the universe here. Here, people speak Spanish and they spend pesos. And so, you know, ¿dónde está el baño? You know, más cerveza, por favor. Key phrases.
We're not
to
teaching
know.
Them that.
Well, no, actually the kids can just go up and get it for us.
That's
you
true,
know?
Yeah.
So anyway, those are the teachable moments. And for family travel, of course, you always look for that.
Mm-hmm. Muy bien. Well, we're talking about the family vacation with guests Aaron Kirkland and Scott McMurrin on Kids These Days today. We'll be back with more from both of them after a break. Also, we'll have the first in a new series called When I Was Young. Producer Sarah Gonzalez takes us to a retirement community for that today. And we'll hear more from members of the KTD community about places they like to go, stay in, or stick around for. I'm Shanna Sheehy. Stay with us.
Holiday Road. It's a long way down to Holiday Road.
To fail is just a part of growing up, right? Well, is the failure to launch syndrome that some accuse today's young adults of suffering from a result of never learning to fail? We'll explore that idea as we take a closer look at how failure is an important part of childhood development. Maybe you remember a big disappointment in your own life. How did you overcome it? Join us for that and more next time on Kids These Days. You're listening to Kids These Days on this listener-supported station. I'm Shanna Shee. Please be a part of the conversation. Tell us about your family vacation. Call 1-888-KTD-RADIO. That's 888-583-7234. Email us at mail@kidsthesedays.org, or you can use the contact form at kidsthesedays.org. Well, before we get back with our guests, Aaron Kirkland and Scott McMurrin, to talk more about the family vacation, first there's this. Voluntourism is the term coined to describe combining vacation with volunteer work to create a more meaningful experience away from home. While just packing bags and making it to the airport can seem like a challenge, more and more families are adding this extra element to their travel. Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran met one Anchorage family who spent almost 2 months in Africa.
When Olivia Larson first got to Malawi Children's Village, the first thing she noticed was...
It was really hot. It was Africa, so it was really hot. And it was kind of overwhelming and exciting and interesting all at the same time.
Olivia was 11 years old at the time. Her family traveled to Malawi in 2009 and spent about a week at Malawi Children's Village, a program that supports more than 2,000 orphans in 37 villages, providing food and shelter, health care, and education. Her younger sister Beverly and her mother Marge helped with the babies.
What we did pretty much was helped feed them and played with them.
And visited a new school being built.
Rocky and no bathroom doors.
With or without doors, those outhouses are important.
Because in a lot of places in Africa, in Malawi in particular, the girls won't go to school because there aren't any outhouses or a private place to go to the bathroom, and so they would have to be out in the open, and so they would just stay home.
Working with MCV helped the family get to places most tourists wouldn't have access to. They transported high school age actors traveling to perform a play.
It was about protecting yourself against AIDS and checking, going to infirmaries to make sure that you don't have AIDS and staying safe.
So it was actually, it was a play put on by an Alaskan high school student. He was the director, Kyle Horn, so that he was working with the high school students, the secondary students. All summer, and we happened to be there for the premiere play, and it's put on in the villages, so we helped drive kids to the village, and it was, you know, felt like a very remote village, you know, under the baobab tree, the entire community comes.
After she returned home, Olivia Larson told her entire school community about what she saw in Malawi.
I got to stand up in front of the whole school and talk about my experience in Africa and talk about the school and how they could have so little but still be incredibly happy. Like even having one thing that they eat three times a day for months.
For her mom, Marge, that was the main point of the trip.
The frame of reference that American kids have is so different from the rest of the world that and then you can't possibly change that without an experience in another country that's quite different. And I think it did give them that, for sure. That doesn't mean that they're not American children again, that they're back. But it's still there, and to have seen that and appreciated how little some people have and how happy they can be with that, or how resourceful they can be with the materials that they do have, to me is really, really important.
Alaska has a strong connection with Malawi Children's Village. Anchorage residents Ruth and Tom Nieswander are on the board of directors, and several Anchorage schools raise money for MCV schools. The Larsons used those connections to arrange their work at MCV. They also visited and traveled with family friends who had moved to Malawi several years before. Arranging all that travel alone could be overwhelming. That's why agencies like Cross Cultural Solutions exist. They arrange trips with a service component all over the world. On most of them, children over 8 years old are welcome. Marge Rubin is a program enrollment manager there. She talks to people about their goals for the trip and helps them figure out what they'd like to do. With families, there are a few extra considerations.
The age of their children, whether or not their children have traveled in the past, how they feel about, you know, specific diseases in a country, or, you know, what is it that they plan to do with their children in a volunteer program.
The price tags on these volunteer trips can seem expensive, but Ruben says many families start a year or more ahead of time and do fundraising to help cover the costs. Garage sales, mowing lawns, giving up Christmas and birthday presents. Donating to Cross Cultural Solutions for a family's trip is tax deductible. Ruben says these trips can provide important cultural connections. Many clients are adoptive families looking for ways to connect with their children's birth culture. Her daughter is an adopted African American. They traveled to Ghana together when she was a teenager.
As a mother taking a daughter to this program, it was life-changing for her. You know, my daughter at the time she went was having a tremendous identity crisis. And this just, it turned it around. It totally turned it around. She came back proud of who she was.
Whether the goal is cultural pride, pride in a good day's work, or a little perspective on the larger world, traveling and volunteering may help reach it. I'm Jessica Cochran.
And this is Kids These Days, and we are talking about the family vacation with Erin Kirkland and Scott McMurrin. Well, let's talk a little bit about the staycation. Right. This is something that I started hearing this term at least a year, maybe 2 years ago, when the economy maybe tanked a little bit. And people are talking about, you know, we can't afford to get away this year, so let's do a staycation where we stay at home and we do something at home or close to home. What are options out there for staycations? Is staycations even the right way to frame this idea?
No. Staycation is not a favorite word of either of us.
Yeah.
And I don't like it because I think it implies that your family is settling. We have to settle for staying, let's say, in Alaska. And a vacation is not, even if it's in your own state, you're not settling. So I don't ever want to imply that if a family just takes a trip 50 miles north or south or east or west, that they're settling for something. Because right here, especially in a state like Alaska, you know, every trip you take is special. So
it's very special, epic.
That's the word actually Scott and I like to use, is epic. I don't ever want a family to feel like they are settling for second best if they choose to stay at home. Now that said, our family has not left Alaska in a year. We spent this entire year just, you know, traveling around Alaska, and oh my gosh, and I still haven't even gotten halfway down my list of places to go.
There are so many places to go.
Well, there really are, and I loathe that word staycation. Actually,
oh, you know,
how did I do? Did
it's
I,
a strong word.
I
though.
Didn't
Good
even
for you.
Reach across yeah. the desk and grab her by
no.
the throat.
I know.
You know, because it just seems like that's settling. I use the word copping a plea. It's like, you know, look at what you've got. I'll just give you a great example of something that we did. It's less than 100 miles from here. Number one son and another friend of mine, and his son, we went down to Ptarmigan Creek, which is just past Moose Pass. And we parked the car, grabbed the guns, and headed off into the woods. And just the four guys, and, you know, pitched a tent. We went fishing. We fired off several rounds, you know. And it was just, it was one of the best holidays, really, vacations that we had. And it was a two-hour drive from here. Now, I mean, it was really worth writing home about. And I'll give you an example of what was so cool about it. So we were getting ready to, you know, go head back to the parking lot. I mean, we hiked in, I mean, maybe 3 miles. So it wasn't a huge big deal, but there was a flat place right by the lake, and there was nobody else. Mm-hmm. Nowhere. And Drew, my oldest son, said, "Come on, I just gotta sign of a true fisherman. One more cast, just one more cast." And he caught this dolly that was about 18 inches long.
Wow!
And so I said, "We gotta eat it." So we cooked it up and we ate the whole thing. But it was such a great trip, and it's right there now. My son, who's now 19, just loves going down to Kenai Lake, Quartz Creek, that whole area. Yep. And so we were able to plant that seed.
And well, that's, you know, that kind of vacation is one that someone from outside of Alaska might spend a whole lot of money to kind of get exactly
you
that
know,
experience.
Yeah. You know, Shanna, some people spend their, and we found this out when we took a cruise, a Holland America cruise a couple of years ago. We found out that some people have saved their entire lives to come to a state that we live in. So, you know, giving such a term as staycation to that, just we don't want to do that to Alaska.
And we're not picking on you.
No. But you know, it's a word that we hear a lot, and I get asked all the time, you know, about the staycation concept or tourist in your own town. Like, no, you know, Alaska's gold, people. Let's notch it up here to platinum.
Well, I know my family likes to travel around the state, and there's nothing like the luxury of Alaska State Parks camping.
Yes.
And our family camping these days usually includes the four walls and the roof of the public use cabins. So I recently called the Department of Natural Resources Public Information Center in Anchorage, and I asked for some family-friendly vacation advice from them.
I'm Kathy Johnson, and I'm the Natural Resource Specialist for the Department of Natural Resources Public Info Center.
Are there particular public use cabins that you would say are more family friendly than others?
Probably the ones on Red Shirt Lake are the most family friendly ones that come to my mind. We have two cabins that are on islands all by themselves, which kind of makes it fun for families just to let their kids have a great time while they wear their life jackets, please. And the lake is just full of pike. And so fishing is just abundant there. And the kids, of course, just get a charge out of catching all those fish. Nancy Lake is also a very good family one. But that one is surrounded by private landowners. So there's a lot of activity on that lake. And I think if I were taking my family out, I would go to the Red Shirt ones just because it's a little bit quieter and more fun for the kids. There is a 3-mile hike, but once you get there, it's worth the trip.
And how about winter stays? Are there any that are particularly great for, you know, a winter family trip?
Any of the cabins, with the exception of the coastal cabins, are great for family trips because once there is sufficient snow on the ground, then the parks do open for snow machining and other snow-related recreational activities, you know, cross-country skiing, skijoring, everything.
What's the best way for someone to find out more information?
Well, they can certainly call our office. The main line is 269-8400, or you can go to alaskastateparks.org and click on our cabin link and just review all the different cabins that we have online. We have over 50 of them.
You are listening to Kids These Days, and today we're talking about the family vacation with my very entertaining guests, Scott McCarron and Aaron Kirkland. And
we just love this.
Since we're talking about the family vacation, I feel like, you know, we're sort of remiss without talking about theme parks. So traveling places on the West Coast seems pretty doable from Anchorage. So what about that family pilgrimage to Disneyland in Southern California? I know I went when I was a kid. Well, does it have the same allure for today's families, and is it all that? Kids These Days figured we'd ask a mom in the know. Anchorage's Christiane McLean took one trip to Disneyland with her parents and says she'll likely continue the family tradition.
My name is Christiane McLean, and I survived a Disneyland trip with my two almost three-year-old. I finally gave in to an annual invitation by my parents, who have been taking their grandkids to Disneyland every year since their first grandchild was born, so they've been going 7 years now. And I would recommend booking a lot of time and staying on property or somewhere so you don't have to drive back and forth, because it was really nice. That way I could sort of peel off from the crowd and head back to the hotel anytime my kid needed that. They have these things called character breakfasts where you get to go and have breakfast with Ariel or, you know, various people dressed up in costumes. And they would strategically make these reservations around the park so that when we happened to eat at one restaurant, it was when a parade went by and we were above the crowds and able to sit, you know, at the dining table drinking wine, watching the parade going by, or the character breakfast that lets you in an hour beforehand, and so you get to walk into the park when it's not a crazy busy rush in. Another thing is my daughter has a lot of food allergies, and I've got to say that Disneyland, the entire place, did a fabulous job at handling food allergies. Every restaurant we'd go to, there a chef or somebody would come out and review all the ingredients of every meal. They all have these binders set up. So wow. If anybody has a food allergy problem, I would definitely give the whole Disneyland, you know, package a thumbs up.
My guests, Scott McMurrin and Aaron Kirkland, what about Disneyland and other theme parks? There are many.
Theme parks definitely have their place. And I think, you know, one's childhood would be remiss if you didn't go to Disneyland. I mean, this mom makes some great points. You know, if you stay near the property, you're probably a little better off. There are shuttle buses. You can, you know, get yourself there. Also, going next door to California Adventure is a great idea, and not just confining yourself to one spot if you've got the time. And Alaska Airlines has got that great deal where you can get, you know, the kids fly for you, whatever, and get down there. And those are some good ideas that can help, you know, enhance the experience. But Scott, you've taken your boys there.
We've done it. We sprung it on them. We surprised them.
Actually,
come on,
that's
kids.
What we're going to do. We're going to surprise them.
Yeah. Come on, kids. We're going to the airport. We're going to Disneyland. And
cool. How did you keep that to yourself? Yeah. I don't think I'd be able.
We're going
to
do that. Yeah.
And you know, it was amazing. It was a fun thing for Christy and I to do that. And we elected to stay right on property. We stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, McMurrin in Scottish really does mean cheap. So, you know, we really did kind of cost that out. And And keeping in mind the transaction time and the cost of that when You've got two little kids.
Well, in my research, I mentioned earlier in the program that I found a lot of good resources for family travel at travelchannel.com. Mm-hmm. And they had a list there also of different theme parks, and there were some that I had never even heard of before. We're talking about Disneyland in specific here, but they also talk about Legoland, which is in Carlsbad, California. Talk about Sesame Place, being a fan of Sesame Street. That was interesting to me. It's in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Talk about the Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, Virginia. Of course, Six Flags Great America in Chicago, Illinois. That's one that I think many heard about.
Yeah.
And there are Six Flags amusement parks all over the country. And then, of course, Knott's Berry Farm, which is in Buena Park, California, which is also very near Disneyland.
I loved Knott's Berry Farm. I have to say, I mean, I have a blast every time I go there.
Yeah.
We went to Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, and the kids had a great time. Yeah. It was fabulous.
I mean, really, you can't go wrong at a theme. I mean, you really can't go wrong at a theme park.
Because they're made for the family travel experience.
They totally are. And if you go in there with an open mind and an open wallet, you know, it's really going to be okay.
No price too high.
No.
No price too high.
And you go early and you stay late, or, you know, whatever works for your family. And Scott's mentioned before, you got to know your kids and take the snacks and the water and quit while you're ahead. Very key. And just
go home before the temper tantrum starts.
Families learn a lot of lessons doing a trip like that, a little nip and tuck, a little give and take, a little compromise, making sure that you build in enough time for the transitions, I think is probably the biggest thing.
Yes, I would reiterate that completely. Yeah.
Well, I would like to say thank you so much to both of my guests for being with us today on Kids These Days. Scott McMurrin of the AlaskaTravelGram.com, thanks for being here.
No, it's great being here, Shannon. I could go on forever, and I often do.
As he does.
And also Aaron Kirkland, who is akonthego.com. And as I mentioned before, we will link to both websites from our website at kidsthesedays.org. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks.
This week, Kids These Days introduces us to a new segment called When I Was Young. When I Was Young is, as it sounds, a chance for people to think about the time when they were kids and to share those memories with all of us. Producer Sarah Gonzalez brings us this first installment of When I Was Young. She talked with a handful of senior residents at an Anchorage retirement community about their fondest family vacation memories.
It was really interesting seeing those wild horses right in front of the car.
In the 30s, 40s, and 50s, back when the Kids Stay Free hotel package had yet to be invented, seatbelts weren't required in cars, and airline travel was uncommon, the family vacation looked a little different than it looks today. I spoke with five members of the Chester Park Co-op, an independent retirement community in Anchorage, and they told me that vacationing when they were young involved a lot of long road trips in the family car, train travel, and even steamship voyage. Ginger Silver, Robert Black, Mary Nation, and Betty and Ralph Moore recalled their fondest memories of traveling as children and also the trips they took with their own kids.
I really remember moving out west from Illinois when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and that was one big vacation. We camped all the way.
For Betty Moore, whose family drove north in 1952, the road trip to Alaska is one of her very favorite vacation memories.
There was my two brothers, myself, my mother and father, and my great-grandfather. And the thing I remember the most, we set up the tent every night and cook on a campfire, so on and so forth. But the thing I remember the most moving out west was when my great-grandfather set the cat on fire by stomping out his pipe and the ashes flew all over the fur. And that was pretty exciting in the car. We were in a Model A Ford, and that was pretty exciting.
When Mary Nation had her own children in South Dakota, camping was the family vacation of choice. And they continued this after they moved to Alaska in 1969.
We used to take the kids camping in the Black Hills. And we had tents at first, and then we got one Apache fold-down camper, and that's what we mostly went then. And after we got up to Alaska, and we loved camping.
A family road trip on the Alaska Highway meant packing the car with kids, picnic lunches, and spare tires.
Oh, God, I had so many tires. Of course, when my kids got little, we gave them a lot of trips up and down the Alaska Highway. 12 times before it was paved. We did it in 55. We did it in 1960.
Ralph Moore said that of the 12 times his family made the drive south and north on the Alaska Highway, they would usually stay in lodges, like the one at Burwash Landing. He remembers this poem hanging in one of the roadside inns.
Do you remember a poem somebody had written in one of the lodges? And it says, "Winding in and winding out fills my mind with serious doubt as to whether the lout who built this route was going to hell or coming out." Well, it was just long, mainly, and full of flat tires.
On these long car trips, the three women all recalled playing games in the back seat with their siblings. Games like counting black horses versus white horses, searching for as many different state license plates as they could see, and they all remember singing lots and lots of songs. Mary Nation says that when her own children were the ones in the back seat, she devised a very clever method for keeping them in line on long road trips.
They were 16 and 13 and 11, and I had a fly swatter. And anybody got horsing around that back seat, I just made a sweep. Whoever got hit, got hit. But I did have my son in the front seat because he would be more apt to cause trouble with the girls. But that was about all. I never had to stop.
Robert Black moved to Alaska from Wisconsin in 1955, and after settling here, sent for his wife and four children to join him. After their long drive north, Black says that their reunion vacation together became one of his fondest memories.
Going back to my coming to Alaska, when I came up, I had no problem with the road. But when my wife came up with four kids, the twins were 3 years old, and I had a daughter who was 11 and a son who was 12, but they were able to get they drove to Tanana, to Fairbanks, and got a flight out to Tanana. And we spent 2 weeks in Tanana the first time that the family had been together.
He would go on to work for Pacific Alaska Airlines in the 70s, allowing his family to frequently and affordably travel throughout the U.S. But others say that air travel was not a common mode of transportation when they were young. Instead, traveling by train or even by boat were far more likely and affordable.
We didn't even have an airport where I lived in Kansas, and I didn't know anybody that flew anywhere. We had the train, and like I say, my dad is an engineer, and everybody went by train or car, depending on where they were going.
And Ginger Silver recalls one such train journey from her childhood that really sticks out in her mind.
I traveled with my grandparents, and that was always fun. The last time when I traveled with my grandfather, my grandmother said, oh, she arrived and her dress was on backwards. It should have been buttoned down the back, and it was buttoned down the front. And I had long, curly hair, red. But her hair was done beautifully. And she said, I asked me, how did he manage her hair? Oh, there were these school teachers across the aisle. They wanted to comb her hair in the morning. So I was looking good, except my dress was all backwards. But it was fun traveling with them.
Another friendly way to travel and meet people is by boat, as anyone who has taken the ferry well knows. Betty Moore's family sailed with the Alaska Steamship Company, which discontinued passenger service in 1954.
First time I came to Alaska, we came up by Alaska Steamship. And we got off at Cordova and spent the summer at McKinley Lake, where my mother was born. Gosh, it was back even when my mother was young. And from Seattle, Seattle to southeast cities, Ketchikan, Juneau, Sitka, Haines, Seward.
Thank you to the members of Chester Park Co-op for generously sharing their time and their memories with us. If you have an idea for this segment, When I Was Young, please let us know by writing to us at mail@kidsthesedays.org.
That's our producer, Sarah Gonzalez, with members of the Chester Park Co-op.
Who's the moose's moose we know? Marty Moose. Who's the star of our favorite show? Marty Moose. M is for Mary, we're Mary, you see. O is for Gosh, oh golly, oh gee.
Thanks for being with us today on Kids These Days. As always, this program is available 24/7 online at kidsthesedays.org. Also on the web, you can find lots of ways to continue this conversation. Contact us, email us, write on our discussion forum, friend us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. You can link easily to social media from our homepage at kidsthesedays.org. Jessica Cochran reported from Anchorage for today's program. Our When I Was Young piece was produced by Sarah Gonzalez, and she technically manned today's program as well.
Kids These Days is an independent production of the Content Producers Guild. The opinions shared on the program are those of the host, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of KTD producers, partners, or funders. Major funding for Kids These Days comes from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. The program is made in partnership with KSKA-FM in Anchorage and the Alaska Public Radio Network. Find out more about Kids These Days anytime at kidsthesedays.org.
You've been listening to an encore edition of Kids These Days. This program first aired in early November 2010. You can find the whole show again, as well as a companion program about summer travel with guests Scott McMurrin and Aaron Kirkland. It's all at kidsthesedays.org. Aaron is also a regular blogger on our website. You can find her recent KTD on the Go posts, as well as search our archive of past entries. That's all at kidsthesedays.org.